Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. We've been looking at praying the Lord's Prayer. Over these last several weeks, we've learned how these petitions and requests have gone on up from our hearts and lives. For it says in Matthew chapter 6, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And tonight we come to verse 12. I want to speak tonight for a few moments on the power of forgiveness. This is a prayer, this is a petition that comes from each of our hearts, I trust and believe. We recognize as we pray this prayer, when God says to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, "And forgive us our debts or our sins, our transgressions, our failings, our shortcomings." We'll describe a little bit more what they are. "But forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is a prayer found in Matthew chapter 6 that should be offered with humility and yet with great gratitude. When we read, "Forgive us our debts," too often we're too easy to point other people's sins out. We judge people by their actions, and we often judge ourselves by our intentions. Anybody realize sometimes we look about and we see people that we feel are really bad, terrible sinners? But how many of us recognize it's only by the grace of God that we sit here tonight in Bethany? "For all of us have sinned," the word says in Romans, "and fallen short of the glory of God." So this prayer tonight for forgiveness is a prayer that expresses humility, and yet it expresses great gratitude for the greatness of our God. In Psalm 86, verse 5, we have this great reminder from God's word. Psalm 86, verse 5, it says, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who called upon you." How many are glad that your life really began for real the second time you were born? When you called upon the Lord, you found in him the ability to be a person, the strength, the forgiveness, the power to be a person that no one ever thought you could be. No one would imagine you would turn out to be what you are today, and it's by the power and grace and mercy of God. That's why we should be full of gratitude tonight. Even during the message tonight, if God would speak to your heart, I want to do two things at the close of this service. I want us to reflect on the goodness and mercy of God. I want us to be able to rejoice and be grateful and never take for granted that we have been forgiven. We've been made new. We've been cleansed. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a blessed hope of eternal life with him. We recognize, as we sang many years ago, "He paid a debt he didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay." How many are glad tonight? At the cross, Jesus paid it once for all. Mercy rewrote each of our lives. We wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of our God. But not only do we rejoice in the forgiveness that God has given us for the great debt that we had, but also we're told the best incentive to forgive others is remembering how much God has forgiven you. If you have a hard time forgiving others, sometimes we might say as we move into this message, they don't deserve to be forgiven. I have news for all of us. Either did we. None of us deserves it. You might say, "I can't afford it. It's too costly. It's too painful. I've tried it before." You could say, "I can't afford to forgive." You can't afford not to give. You don't want to carry a grudge. You don't want to have a burden of being a prisoner to wanting people to maybe pay you back. How many are glad that Jesus paid it all and that our sin in our life? Let's look at some key verses to help us to recognize that when we reflect on these verses, we can reflect, we can also respond and rejoice as we read some of these verses tonight and see what God has done for us when he has forgiven us. We pray the prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2. If you're writing these verses down, they would be good to reflect on. They would be good to respond on. They would be good to see it in a fresh way, in a fresh light. Psalm 32, verses 1 to 2 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." What a beautiful picture of that debt that we owed, that sin that we committed, is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that propitiation, that covering. Everything in the Old Testament that would accuse, the Ten Commandments that would be broken by so many, would be covered by the mercy seat. And the high priest would apply the blood over the mercy seat and cover the sins of the people. So our sin is covered. How many are glad of that tonight? Also, look at Psalm 103, verse 12. Here's a great reminder. It's a verse you've heard so many times, but keep this in mind tonight. How vast, how wide, how great, how powerful is the love of Jesus Christ. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That's a long way. The difference between east and west, it's finding in our lives the importance. God has removed us an infinite distance from us. He's removed our transgressions, how we have fallen away, how we have found ourselves disobeying God. And we speak of sin when we speak of these transgressions or debts. The Word of God uses probably at least five words to describe sin or the debt that we would have owed. To sin means to miss the mark. In the day of the Roman Empire, when an archer would fire an arrow in the air towards a target, if he missed the target, they would yell out the word hamartia, which meant to fall short or to miss the mark. And Romans tells us that all have sinned and fallen short. Everybody with me? And we miss the mark. It's not trying harder. It's not trying to be a better person. It's not trying to polish up your act. And it's not 30 days to a new you. It's not just going to church on Sunday or emergencies. But it's living a new life in Jesus Christ. Not only is it missing the mark, but sin or the debt that we would owe is stepping across a line. It's a deliberate, willful act. And some of you can remember, but thanks to Calvary, you don't go there anymore. You're not stepping over a line. You're not traveling in a circle that once took you away from God. But you're joined together here in Bethany with fellow believers, and we come to worship him and lift up his name. And we find ourselves recognizing that our sin is covered. Our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 38, verse 17 says this, "Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness," Isaiah writes, "but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. For you have cast all my sin behind your back." Praise God. Give him thanks tonight, Bethany. Just take a moment to say, you have rescued me. We can, we can recognize that this is our rescue story. Amen? This is what God has done. He's rescued us from the pit.
He has set us upon a rock that's higher than we are. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Praise God. He has cast our sin behind his back. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says this. Isaiah 43, 25. This is what God says. This is why when we pray the prayer of forgive us our debts, it's a prayer of humility. We recognize that we once needed that. There are times when we recognize we need to make our lives open for God to examine, that we don't allow sin to gain a foothold in our life. You know, the enemy is full of many devices, isn't he? There's many schemes and plans to try to drag you back into your former way of life. But Isaiah 43, verse 25 gives us a great reminder. I love this verse. It says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. I will remember them no more. It's like having your sin, obviously it is what it is. Your sin is expunged. It's like ink on a white shirt, but miraculously by the blood of Jesus Christ, it is now made white and pure and whole. That's why Isaiah would say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. No blot, no blemish. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's a great reminder, isn't it, Bethany? He blots it out like a sponge, like a whiteboard being totally erased, and you can't even see where there once was a mark or there once was a blemish. He blots it out. And thank God for the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, we need to continue to be patient with each other. I've said in my classes recently, please be patient with me. God is not done with me yet. Anybody ever have to pray that prayer? Anybody have to be honest tonight, not to anybody else or to me, but to simply say, Lord, be patient with me because God's still working in my life. And we'll come to the aspect in a few moments of the need not only to know his forgiveness, but getting closer to home. We need, as we have been forgiven, we need to extend forgiveness to others. And that's equally as important. Micah chapter 7, the great prophet Micah says this, verse 19. You say, Ken, what are you sharing these verses? These are verses that we should reflect, rejoice, respond to, because they speak of God's faithfulness. Our sin is covered. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. He has put it all behind his back. He is blotted out like a sponge. It's no longer visible. Now in Micah 7, 19, it says, he will again have compassion on us. How many are glad? Lamentation says, every morning his mercy is new. Great is thy faithfulness, his compassions, his mercy, his grace, his strength, his promise, his protection is with us. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and you will cast all of our sins in the depths of the sea. Out of sight. He doesn't remind us. He doesn't bring it back. He doesn't hold it against us. The enemy would sometimes remind you of your past. Don't allow him to give those past sins a swimming lesson. Okay? You're not the person you were back then. You're a new creature in Christ. stand firm in the faith that you have in him. We're not arrogant. We're not boastful. Whatever we are by the grace of God. Whatever we are. Hebrews 10:17, another verse to help us to see that our sin is covered, removed as the east is from the west. It's behind his back. He doesn't bring it to the forefront. He blots it out. He casts it in the sea. But here's a great reminder. Hebrews 10:17, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Yes. Just lift a hand even now and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't remember them. You don't bring them up. You don't allow my life to be a prisoner to my past. I've seen people over the years that I could tell by the way they're talking that the past won't let them go. You know some people like that? They're troubled by a bad past. But I thank God there's a great future. There's a hope. There's a promise that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Those are some key verses. I trust you wrote them down. Because as we come to an altar of prayer in a few moments, you might want to just say, Lord God, I just thank you for these many reminders as I reflect on what you've done through Christ. As I pray this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts. I see the magnitude of what you've done. Through my sin, I would have missed the mark. I stepped across the line. I slipped and I fell away to passion or lust or the pride of life got me off track. A sense of lawlessness. I knew what I should do, but I didn't do it or I didn't care. And I owed a debt. And I couldn't pay it. So we pray, forgive us our debts. Praise God, he has, and he's paid it in full. The ledger is paid in full. Nothing you could do could earn God's love anymore. As we also have been forgiven, now we need to go on to the second part. As we prayed, forgive us our debts, we need to reflect and respond to the other part. And also, let us forgive our debtors as we have been forgiven. C.S. Lewis says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have somebody to forgive. That's a good word. Oh, I think forgiveness is a great idea. Oh, I'm all for that. That sounds like a great thing to do. Let's be real honest. Sooner or later, probably sooner, someone will offend you. Someone will do something against you. Someone will build a debt that they owe to you in various ways. But too often we might hear somebody say, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be forgiven. That's right. But that's what grace is. That's what grace is, Bethany. We're coming down to the heart of the matter right here for the next few minutes. Forgiveness is not weakness, but strength in God. I'm free when I forgive to move on again. When you forgive someone, the prisoner that is set free is you. You're the prisoner. You can be held back. You don't want that to continue in your life. Holding a grudge can get very heavy. It can be overwhelming. Bitterness could creep in. Anger could creep in. Retaliation could be a part of a person's life. You're free to move on again. Somebody well said, Miroslav Volf said this, a professor at Yale, the heart of forgiveness is a generous release
of a genuine debt. It's a generous release. That's what God did through Christ. Forgiveness at the cross was costly. It cost Jesus his life. And forgiving someone else is costly. You pay it. You extend forgiveness, and whether they receive it or not. And I've shared this in classes before. Some people say, well, can I forgive a person that doesn't ask to be forgiven? Yes, for your own benefit, you can and you should. They may never acknowledge it, but you could take, when you forgive that person, Lewis Smed says, you could then take the solo flight to freedom. I love that. You're free. They don't even know that you forgave them. Maybe you don't have, you can't go back and even see the person, but there's times in your life that you want to forgive a debt and move forward. It's called redemptive remembering. When you forgive somebody from the heart by the help and grace and power of God and the Holy Spirit in and through you, you can remember the event. But you could also say, this is where I was. When I forgave that person, this is where I was on March 8th, 2023, when I move forward again. I'm not going to be held back. I'm not going to hold unforgiveness in my spirit any longer. Forgiveness is a mark of spiritual maturity. When you forgive somebody, like only in part, but it's a mark of spiritual maturity, hear me. You don't remember it. You don't rehearse the debt. You don't nurse the debt. Everybody still with me? You don't remember it. You can, but God, Joseph said after his brothers mistreated him, God caused me to forget my troubles, and he made me fruitful. You read it in Genesis. There's times if you want to continue to be fruitful in your life, there may be some things you need to let go of. Before you can be fruitful, before you can go to the next step of maturity and growth, you need to be finding yourself with a forgiving spirit. You don't remember it. God causes you to forget. Sure, you can recall it, but you don't dwell on it. You don't rehearse it. You don't nurse it. You don't carry it. Because Christ has forgiven us, you have the power to forgive others. So what are we saying tonight? When we pray the prayer of forgiveness, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness, David Augsburger says, very important as we close. Forgiveness restores the present, heals for the future, and releases us from the past. Can you stand with me tonight? As you do, I want to read two other verses. As we stand humbly before God, I want to read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. For these verses help us to understand what forgiveness means and all that God has done in our lives. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32 says this, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And the next verse, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." Here's the key, "as God in Christ forgave you." That's the whole essence of Matthew 6, 12. Father, forgive us our debts, and he has. He calls on us now to forgive others. One other verse, Colossians 3, verses 12 to 13 says this, just like putting on a garment or being clothed with these things, here's what Paul says. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Let me just stop there. Some of the hardest people to love and forgive need it the most. The hardest person in your life to show compassion to needs it the most here on March 8th, 2023. Put on compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Imagine putting all that on tomorrow morning before you leave the house. Be a good way to start the day. Put on then as God's chosen ones these things. And it goes on to say this. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, here's the word again, just like Ephesians 4, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. The altar's open. As you step forward, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to just say thank you, God, with a heart of gratitude that you've been forgiven. Maybe you need forgiveness tonight. Maybe you stepped over the line. Maybe you transgressed. Maybe you willfully did something in disobedience. Maybe you need to forgive someone else. As simply as I could say it, I'm thankful tonight that based on the Lord's Prayer and what we could learn from the prayer of forgiveness, how many are glad tonight? You could find a place of prayer. Find it now. Don't wait. You know what God wants you to do. You've been forgiven. Give Him thanks. Acknowledge Him. Maybe you need to forgive someone else. You need to visit them or tell them you want to get together and you need to just lay it before God. But I say this in closing as we spend these next moments in prayer. We left time tonight especially because I sense that this is such an important reflection, but it's also a time of action in our life. Let's remember. Let's release others through forgiveness. It can restore the present. It can heal for your future. And it can release you from your past. Very simply, here it is. We are forgiven forgivers. Bethany, each of us tonight who know Christ as Savior, we are forgiven forgivers. We're forgiven. Let's offer that forgiveness as God would direct us to do and be honoring to Him in every area of our life. Let's worship Him. Let's seek Him. Call upon Him. Find in Him tonight. If you need forgiveness, ask. If you need to forgive someone else, let that prayer of forgiveness help you to forgive also those that need forgiveness. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.